ZS6 SRC37 has been on a remarkable journey so far. It started off making its way to northern Madagascar, then west to the eastern border of the DRC, before turning east and continuing on its journey around the southern hemisphere. It has already completed two circumnavigations and is well on its way to completing its third navigation, which may be early this coming week. It crossed the east coast of Brazil on Saturday and is currently over the western Atlantic. ZS6 SRC-84, which is one of the Mauritian balloons, has slowed down considerably since being in the equatorial regions, and has finally crossed over South America, and is in the mid-Atlantic, oscillating between the northern and southern hemispheres. As of Saturday, it was again heading in a northeasterly direction towards the equator. ZS6 SRC-85, also a Mauritian balloon, suddenly went silent after its last transmission on 18 July 2026. Lastly, ZS6 Zulu Uniform-11, also a Mauritian balloon, launched around the same time as ZS6 SRC-85, and following a similar path, progressed northeasterly across Australia, and was last heard on 20 July 2026, northeast of Rurutu, the northernmost island in the Austral archipelago of French Polynesia. What is really interesting and a mystery is that both ZS6 SRC-85 and ZS6 Lima Uniform 11 were launched within hours of each other, followed the same path, and from the telemetry data available, were both in good health, and then just not heard again. One can speculate, but there is no clear reason for them to just literally disappear off the radar. Regardless, it was a great feat, and thank you to all the amateurs who have been building and launching these Pico balloons. They certainly have created a great following. I will admit that I eagerly await the first reports placed on the WhatsApp group every day. Today we will talk about two VHF propagation modes that make use of the E layer in the ionosphere. Sporadic E propagation, also referred to as ES, and trans-equatorial propagation, also known as TEP. Sporadic E propagation can produce the strongest signals on 50 MHz, or even weaker signals as high as 144 MHz, or as far down as 27 MHz. It produces a skip distance around 600 km on 50 MHz and about 900 km on 144 MHz, and could cover about 2,500 km on a single hop. Under certain conditions, double hop sporadic E becomes possible, and the range can be extended considerably. Sporadic E propagation is unpredictable, and its cause has puzzled scientists for a long time. Small ES clouds can appear in the E layer at a height of 90 to 120 km in circular or irregular form, and when tilted can extend the range of a single hop. Even low power on 50 MHz can cover some long distances. It usually starts off with a fluttery weak signal that could increase to a strength of S9 within minutes. The mid-latitude sporadic E season usually occurs during a number of days in December and January, and could last from a few minutes up to several hours. Sporadic E clouds may form quickly and slowly move westward. Scientists have focused on the ion content caused by burnt-out meteors in the E layer of the ionosphere. They have also paid attention to the high-velocity winds that could cause wind shear in the E layer. These two factors could be responsible for the dense patchy regions of the E layer ionization. Then there are also the almost daily sporadic E openings that occur around noon for an hour or two during the ES season. The FM sound channels around 53.750 MHz have been copied at full limit in Port Elizabeth, emanating from the old Band 3 TV stations in Gweru and Kabwe, and as far north as the Congo. In 1947, a previously unknown long-distance propagation of 50 MHz signals was discovered when X-ray Echo 1 Kilo Echo in Mexico started communicating with Argentinian stations in the afternoon and evening hours. At that time, Argentinian stations began making contact with South American stations in the north on a regular basis. Radio experts eventually discovered that it is a type of F2 propagation that manifests equidistant across the magnetic dip equator. In 1958, Ray Cracknell, Zulu Echo 2 Juliet Victor in Salisbury, as Harare was known at the time, and Zulu Charlie 4 India Papa and Zulu Charlie 4 Whiskey Romeo on Cyprus heard each other on 50 MHz DEP. They took up the challenge and started an in-depth amateur science project. Later, Zulu Echo 2 Juliet Victor was joined by ZS6 Papa Whiskey, Fred Anderson at the CSIR in Pretoria, and Sierra Victor 1 Delta Hotel, Kostas Fimoleris in Athens to expand the research. During the peak of the solar cycle, many VHF amateurs in the northern parts of South Africa worked almost daily long-distance TEP stations in the Mediterranean, but it rarely opened far south. Unfortunately, we have to wait a long time before we are going to work trans-equatorial propagation again. Next week, we will talk a little more about the E-layer. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands, or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobzda@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us, allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz. This program is compiled, edited and presented for Amateur Radio Today by Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu.